Welcome in. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Glad to be with you. Glad to be back here, Joe. How's it going?
Brian, it's going well. Glad to have you back here as well. Hope you enjoyed the time off.
I am, you know, I'm following this manhunt here for Michael Burham. And I don't know, Joe, you can call me crazy or totally off base here. There's a few things that were going through my mind. You can weigh in 803-0930, what you're thinking when you hear about this manhunt like this. The first one is, how does somebody escape from prison in 2023?
Yes.
That's the one that kind of gets me. But beside that, so once you make that escape, I feel like there's two options here. So we're in day five of this manhunt. And so I believe Michael Burham is either in the general area of Warren County, Pennsylvania, somewhere near the prison, within, you know, a few miles or something like that, or he's in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right? Like, wouldn't that, you know, kind of stand to reason, be the way to go about it? You either are right there, you're hiding out, you're trying to, you know, hide in the woods, basically, or you have had help, as the police said yesterday, they suspect there's been some help, but you have help, and that help is in the form of a car, and by now, 5 days, you could be anywhere in the country.
Yeah, I think if you have help, that is someone getting you out of the area, right? That's not going back to Jamestown.
Well, that would be the best kind of help.
Yeah.
If you're him, right? Like,
he's got crappy help.
There's, you know, help, like, here's a Chewy bar.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, help, here's a car, or, like, here's a ride somewhere else. Because, like, there's no checkpoints at, we don't know too much in terms of what checkpoints there were in Warren County, but it's not like going state to state, you're, you know, being stopped by people, or that your face necessarily, you said before, you know, oh, your face is plastered over right before we got in the air. But, you know, when you think of how many people are actually paying attention to, you know, the news or that face, or have seen that picture, and then once you kind of go outside of Buffalo, Pennsylvania, right, like that
area.
It's not
leading the news.
Yeah, it's probably very seldom anybody would see that image, and you could probably get pretty far. So wouldn't that stand to reason? You'd be one of the two. You'd be either right there or so far away.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I don't think he went to Jamestown. I don't think he's here. I would say the Midwest. I mean, does that not, if you think of how do I get away and stay low, you automatically think the Midwest. Like, I don't think there's a better area of the country that hang low and just not be found in the Midwest. I agree with you. I think he's Oklahoma, Montana, that, you know, general long area.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not the same general
area. The Midwest.
Area. Not
well,
really the
Texas.
Same area.
I think he's in Oklahoma, Nebraska, the Dakotas. Now you're working your way up to Montana.
Well, I mean, he could be in any of those places, right?
Or back in South Carolina. I mean,
yeah, just outside of the area. Yeah, I would not be back in South Carolina, because that's where they got me before.
Yeah, that's a little too obvious.
I wouldn't want to retrace my steps and go back down there. But yeah, you just go for less populated.
Yeah.
Or more populated. Right?
Like,
or New York City.
Yeah.
Is someone going to notice you walking? You know, you're one of a bajillion people.
Everyone's looking at their phones.
Yeah, that's true. Is somebody in New York City? You're one of, like, all these people? Like, is anybody?
If
he was walking down the street right now and had new clothes on.
Shaved.
I mean, would you notice?
No. I also don't look at people.
That's part of the thing. Like, how many people would notice? You'd be playing more of a gamble, but I mean, really, you could probably go about your day-to-day life without many people at all noticing.
Yeah.
How far could you get? I mean, the real question is, how far could you get with no identity? Right? Like, that is the real question at the end of the day, because if you want to, in any way, get back to some form of living, you know, a life that's just not on the run, in the woods, survivalist, something like that, you would need to find a way to get back into society.
Is that even possible if you're on the run in 2023?
I mean, you'd have to find some way to get, like, some sort of fake identity.
Yeah.
But, you know, cash only gets you so far now.
That's true. I like to have it, but yeah, cash can only get you so far.
So, you know, what are you going to do? I like the honesty of the Pennsylvania State Police yesterday. And I feel bad for police in this situation when they're dealing with the media. Because, you know, the media wants to know, you know, almost like on a per minute basis, like what's the latest in the search? Like how far have you gotten? And really it's, I mean, it's a very black and white answer you can give. You either have them or you don't. And that's kind of what police said yesterday. And I thought it was nice to hear that, which was basically like, look, you're asking, like, are you getting closer? Like, what's the latest? Like, where are you searching out? Like, we're never going to know if we're getting closer until we get him. Like, we're not going to know how close we are until we have him in handcuffs in the back of a police car. If they knew that they were getting closer, well, they would have already had him. Like, if they knew where he was, they would have him
and
right now.
If they have any leads that they're following up on, you can't go out and say, here's the leads we're following up on, because if there's one person paying attention to the news coverage, it's him.
Maybe.
Oh, I guarantee you, wherever this guy is.
I don't think they have a lot of TV in the woods.
Unless he's in the woods, but if he's on the run, like if he's going jumping state to state, I'm sure he's keeping updated of what the police know, what the police have said to the media.
I would, if we had to like put odds on it right now, I don't think he's seen much media coverage.
Okay. I would say he's probably following it very closely.
But like how?
Well,
how would you follow it very closely?
If he's in the woods, he's not.
Yeah.
But if he's on the run, or you know what? If he's
so you think he's in Oklahoma?
I do. I don't think he's in Pennsylvania. I honestly don't. I think the help was getting him out of there. That's why they found that stockpile. He's nowhere to be seen. I think he's far away from Arizona, from Pennsylvania, and probably just circling a few states. Now, that begs the question, where is he getting gas money? But this is just what's in my head.
Yeah. Well, look, I think it's got to be one of the two. Not going to pretend to know which one it is, but you're either here or you're not. I don't think there's like a lot of in between or hiding out. I mean, you could be hiding out in somebody's home, I guess, and then you would be, you know, that would be the time you would be paying attention to media coverage. But that,
how many people want to actually, you know, put themselves on the line? You know what I mean? Because now,
well, that's the thing. It's you are dealing with, if you're in that area, and like it seemed kind of too obvious to say when we were talking about earlier this morning with a few of our interviews, but you know, obviously somebody who escaped from prison, you're dealing with a loose cannon here. But when you think about like the history, like he's already led the police on a 2-week-long manhunt. He's already traveled from state to state, committing allegedly multiple crimes in various parts of the country. This is not somebody who plays by the rules or you can necessarily predict what they're going to do next. Like that fascinates me about, you know, some of this police work where they're trying to, you know, use experience or predict where this person might be based on, you know, whether that's examples of this in the past, whether that's a profile of the person. It's very interesting to me because it really is. How do you get into the mind of somebody who is just so off of the norm of what everybody else would be thinking?
Yeah. I mean, he's like you said, he's a wild card. That's the person they should put in front of the media, though. Whoever was in charge of watching
Michael
the prison.
Burnham?
No.
Well, they would easily catch
him. Of course,
that.
Of course. But whoever was in charge.
I'm surprised we didn't get him with the Donny Osmond tickets.
Whoever was in charge of watching the prison, when he escaped, that's the person that should be put in front of the media. How did you let this happen? You know, that right now that takes a back seat because, you know, the main thing is looking for this man. But, you know, hey.
There's a ton of questions. Remember the Dannemora escape? You know, like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
What happened there? And, you know, it ended up being a wild story. Really, I mean, a wild story. This one, if he's using bed sheets to escape, like, how do you amass that many bed sheets to create a rope to take you up and down three stories in prison? I mean, I don't know, you know, how that would happen. somebody there would have some idea, right? Like somebody within the prison has some idea, like, hey, Mike has 30 sets of sheets in his room right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like somebody would have to know that. So like that backstory, and when you think back to the Dana Mora escape from now almost 10 years ago, that was 7 years ago by now, or eight maybe. That is 2015. That was summer 2015. That ended up being a huge part of the story was the not so much the being on the run aspect of it, but the escape itself and just kind of how wild that was.
The lead up, yeah. I mean, I don't think it was the Stanley Ipkiss break, you know, where the dog jumped through the window and grabbed the keys of the cop that was sleeping. But, you know, hey, it's also out there.
Yeah. Well, interesting stuff. And if you want to weigh in, you can 803-0930.
You hope they catch him.
Oh, yeah. I really think it's got to be one of those two things. You don't know, but I'm just kind of try to put yourself in the position of somebody who escaped from prison, and you think one of those two things where you're either far away or you're right there.
With the technology today, though, like you were talking about the Unabomber earlier, on the run for 20 years, I mean, it is difficult to think that could happen with this technology in 2023, but again,
I don't, like, not really, though. Like, when we talk about the technology we have now, like, what do you really have? The drones is one thing, so you can surveil an area, but...
And the kind of, like, technology on those drones, right? To look in depth of what's where. But again, there's 48 states. Well, and, you know, better cameras than they had 20... I'm just saying, there is a heightened technology to search, but again, you have to know where to start, and that's the big question mark.
But it's very limited, right? Like, there's no... okay, so you have drone technology, you know, maybe it's got an infrared camera on there where you can see something in the woods. Okay. But, you know, how many of those do you have? Like, how wide of an area can that cover at once? Like, how confident are you in that? And then what else? What else is there? Right? Like, in terms of new
More.
Technology, right? Like, what else is there? What else are you going to see?
The fact is there is more technology than there was in 95, and you just have that in the back of your mind.
Like, in what way is the new technology helping to find somebody in a remote area?
I don't know. When they find them, we'll find out. What new technology
is used? What are you saying? What's going on here? Let's switch focus, because you're going to drive me up a wall. You were having a discussion yesterday on the Metro Rail expansion. And I'm wondering where people stood on that when you were talking. What was the conclusion you came to?
My conclusion is, and I come from a situation where I grew up right by the tracks, right? So I took the train to every event downtown.
Is that what you tell people?
Yeah, I grew up by the tracks.
You grew up right by the tracks.
Right by the tracks.
That's what you tell people. Where was it? Amherst. You know, beautiful.
Beautiful Amherst, right by the tracks. So every event downtown, and then in college, I was literally, my dorm was right by a rail station, so I through college. I think if it's open to more people will take it. Now, I also realize that Buffalo's not the city it was when this was originally proposed 30 years ago. An argument you made, Brian, I think is something that needs to be considered. We are a car town, and again, I think that's because the Metro Rail was never expanded to what it was supposed to be, but are we too far past that now? Because you tell people, hey, let's take the train, and most people say, no, get in the car. We're driving downtown. So I do think that needs to be considered. We had a lot of people calling yesterday that live in the area that's going to be affected, and obviously they have their concerns with not only the construction that will take 10 years, but having trains pass by every 20 minutes. So there's a lot to consider. I think the idea from the outside looking in, and obviously you have to consider all those things, an expanded Metro Rail, especially connecting the UB campuses, is a smart idea. I think it's a great idea. However, I am conflicted because I think all those other things do factor into it. And the big question is, will the demand be there with the money spent? I can't answer that question.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a smart or a great idea. Because what we're talking about now with Metro Rail expansion, and I do want to, my initial thought when I think about this idea of expanding the Metro Rail, and people have a lot of different opinions of what that should mean, right? Some people in their head have just kind of what, like, the basic proposal would be. What would be the basic thing we're talking about expanding the Metro Rail? It would just go to UB North.
Right.
It would go from UB South to UB North. It would connect the two UB campuses. And, you know, that's the picture some people have in their head. Others have, like, this idealistic, like, oh, we'll expand it even further. It'll go further up north. We should have separate rail lines. You know, I see people post all the time online, like, this big map of Western New York of what it would look like. You know, here's a great public transit system that we should have. And I do sometimes think that it is a little bit of this. It's like when we were talking about the stadium. There's a little bit of this Buffalo and us thinking that we're a little bigger than we actually are feeling in here. Like, these massive subway systems are, they're not like the norm in cities across the country, right? Like, not every city has a, you know, New York, Boston type subway system where there's stops all over the place and trains running 24/7.
A lot of bigger cities than Buffalo do not have train systems.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of live in this world where, like, we're just so behind ourselves for not having that sort of public transportation, which I don't think is the case.
No, and I agree with that. I think the big thing is, Brian, is we have this thing here now, this train now, that, as many callers pointed out yesterday, you go downtown in the middle of the day, you see the train going by, you can count the people on the train, right? And is that what's going to happen when you add these rail lines? Because you have to remember, UB is not to capacity in the summer, right? There are still students that go to the school over the summer, but it's not where it would be. So it would definitely take a hit in the summer. Are, is that your main, is that what you're mainly depending on for demand? That's another question that factors into this.
Which the answer would be yes, right? If you're expanding the Metro Rail to the UB North campus, then yeah, the whole expansion is just for the benefit of the University of Buffalo. Which is a great benefit. The UB is a great driver here in Western New York. But at the same time, is that worth the, as you talked about before, the construction project, the amount of money it would take, not just to build, but then to operate over and over? And is it that much better? And, like, I know it's cooler. I know that it sounds better. It would be more fun to ride. It seems more cutting edge. It seems, it makes us feel a little bigger. But is it really any better than the buses that run from UB North to UB South right now?
I would say that's another thing I'm considering, because the proposal would have to be something where it's just the rail line, right? It's not sharing the street with cars as it is down in portions of downtown now, because then it does make it faster than a bus if you're not competing with cars, right? If it's just the train on the rail line, and it's not one of these things like in Toronto where it's also part of the road in places.
Is that worth it, though, to build a dedicated bus line if you're just going UB North to UB South and vice versa, to build a, you know, because again, you're talking a new construction project, reconfiguring major roads here in Western New York, to at the end of the day do what? Shave 5 minutes off your commute?
Well, and that's another thing. Like, there's three proposals. I like the proposal.
It's a quick ride.
I like the proposal that takes it down the boulevard to the new shopping center and then around, because then you're adding more stops than just campus to campus.
So then
the main question is, does that increase demand? And Brian, I keep going back to what you said a few weeks ago when we did this show. We're already committed to driving. How can you change people's minds?
So, like, that brings me to the thing when it comes to Metro Rail expansion. I am Walter White. No half measures. Remember that from Breaking Bad? And that was that's at the end of, I think it was season two or season three. No half measures. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go to the door of the scientist and, you know, what happened next. But no, when it comes to expanding the Metro Rail, and if you have, you want public transportation to be the thing in Western New York, there's no half measures. You either do it and it stops at every street corner in Western New York, or you don't. What would it take to get you to ride public transit and ditch the car? 803-0930 to join us here, Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. So we're back here, and Joe, when we said no half measures at the end, that's, I just don't see a, unless it's part of a greater plan, I don't see why a Metro Rail expansion from UB South to UB North, I don't see why that sounds like a great idea to a lot of people, and why and how that is going to change anything throughout the area.
I can't answer the second part, but the first part, well, you know what, I can answer both. The first part, I said I think it's a great idea because I think you go from that to expand, right? I think everyone, most people think that the subway system in Buffalo, if it went to the airport, right, you would have people on it every day. You'd have people on it. It wouldn't be...
That makes sense.
Yeah. The airport, to me, this is, even though it's in a different direction,
the airport thing makes perfect sense to me.
Yes.
This is not to the airport.
Well, you didn't get the memo. They're moving the airport. No. But it's an expansion. It is something that's been talked about for 30 years. And you know, you talk about that, how people in Buffalo think that, you know, this is, it's a bigger city than it actually is. I also think people in Buffalo look at things and go, well, that's never going to happen. Right? That's mm-hmm. going to be another incomplete project. Mm-hmm. It's going to be another 990. It's going to be another Metro Rail. I mean, it's literally the example. And you look at the original plan for the Metro Rail and where it was supposed to go. Hey, it's 30 years late. And yeah, maybe Buffalo's not the city. But to me, this is, all right, we're finally expanding the Metro Rail. Where can it go next? I will be very disappointed if it doesn't go anywhere else next.
Yeah, well, the original plan, it was supposed to go to UB North, and then there was that other idea of just branching off and just going right up to NT. And
yes.
As an NT resident, you know, that would be, I would have a short walk to the rail. I would say, okay, like, that's cool. Would I ever use it?
That's...
No.
But you say that now without it there.
Yeah, but like, what is it going to be? Is it going to run 24/7?
Well, that's another huge issue we talked about yesterday. You know, when I was in college, you'd take the train down at midnight, and then this is before Ubers, you'd have to find a cab, you'd have to find a ride back to the dorms because the train ends at 12:30. If we're going to expand this, if we're going to make this a real functioning, especially if it does eventually go to the airport, which I know is not what we're talking about, but you're going to have to expand the hours. It cannot be something that only goes till 12:30.
When I lived on Delaware Street, you take the Delaware bus all the way, you straight shot down Delaware, all the way downtown. $3, yeah, great. But the last bus on the weekend was like 11. You had to be back. Like, you couldn't really do anything or a full night out or make plans, or you'd have to leave early to take it. So it would have to be 24/7. Like, are they going to do that? Full measure. And like, the thing about I love the airport idea. The airport idea makes perfect sense for people to have the ability to, at the airport, hop on a train. I mean, that's big city thinking. Hop on a train and go downtown, which is for a lot of people out, like, that's the destination.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's where most of the people who come in
more
are trying to go. If you're a visitor, like, unless you're coming to see family or anything like that. Like, that's the good idea. What you're doing now, you're expanding it to UB, and I need somebody to explain to me how this is going to be so much better than the bus that's already there. And why, if you say, okay, like, maybe you're somebody who lives in Amherst, you live in, like, the Sweet Home School District, you're in this, right by where we are, you know, maybe you live here at the studio, like you do, Joe. It's like, maybe you're right by this area, and you say, okay, well, no, then I would drive my car and leave my car at UB and take the train downtown if you work downtown or something like that. I don't believe you. I'm sorry. Because what's the difference between taking a bus to, it's probably maybe even faster, taking the bus here to UB South and hopping on the train? Just because you like a train better than a bus, we're going to spend billions of dollars because aesthetically it's better? That part doesn't make sense to me. If you want to do that, it's already available to you. We used to do it in high school all the time. You'd take the bus from right by Sweet Home. You wouldn't even have to change buses. It goes right to UB South, and then you can hop on the train from right there. Once we had a car, we never did that again. And that brings up kind of the final nail in the coffin for me. And that is for the people still living here. And the one argument I do like is it would be more attractive to out-of-towners maybe to move to some of these areas if there was a convenient public transit. I do kind of get that part. But for everyone else, what would it take for you to not drive, for you to give up your car, give up driving to work, grocery store, picket, you name it, in favor of mass transit? Because I don't think you get there with 95% of people.
I'll tell you this. I do think, again, I don't have an answer for your bus argument, but if you have a train here, say the Final Four tournament's back in town, right? The first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, and parking downtown, the cheapest parking's $40. You can take a train for $5 or $10.
So once every 2 years, you're taking the train.
That's just one example. when the Sabres were really good and selling out every game, the train would be packed. And I would be in my dorm before some people were out of a parking lot. I think that's a selling point as well. If it goes further, goes to more places. I do think, again, I could be very wrong. That's why I'm not in a position to make decisions like this, Brian. But I do think if the train is, if it's something that's you can get to from your home in a reasonable amount of time, walk there, drive a short distance, I do think if you have the opportunity, you will realize, more people would realize, you know what, this is just smarter. I can get on the train, I can zone out, I get downtown. Now, I could be completely wrong because, like you said, more people just want to hop on the 33 and get downtown. I don't know. But from my experiences, when I was near a train, 90% of the time I took the train downtown.
Yeah. And you're also of a certain age, right?
Yes.
Like if you're 20, it's a better option than if I take my son to a Sabres game. And okay, let's say this Metro Rail expansion, we'll look at the original map where it had the Tonawanda line. Am I going to, you know, if we're going to a Sabres game, say, okay, let's walk around the corner to the where the train gets off. You know, it wouldn't be that far. Hop on the train. Ride for how long would that ride take?
See, that's a good question too.
How long is that ride going to take? I would say it's going to take at least twice as long as it takes me to drive down and drive back.
That is a fair argument.
Change trains probably at UB South. Get on the other one downtown. You're stopping every stop, crowded with people. And then on the way back, instead of hopping in the car again and being home soon, you know, it's a late night, I'm going to take a ride. What, it's going to take me, instead of 20 minutes, an hour to get back home? I'm just going to drive instead. I'm just going to drive. Now, that's, again, not saying that people wouldn't do it. But for me, I cannot think of many scenarios. It's why I once called it, it's going to be a glorified drunk bus. Because that's the only, maybe once or twice a year, you'd go out and you'd have a good time downtown. You wouldn't have to worry about driving. You could take the train back or something like that. Maybe that happens a couple times a year. But for everything else, for work, for going to an event, for going to out to dinner, any of these things, giving up the convenience and freedom of being able to leave whenever you want, to go wherever you want at a moment's notice on your schedule, and doing it much faster than what the light rail would be. You're just not going to be able to get me to do that in 90% of the occasions.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. And again, when I was taking the train, it was a lot closer, right? I mean, it's a straight line. You know what I mean? Like, we got, like I said, you get on the train, you'd be home before some people were out of downtown. Obviously, if it expands, there's more stops, it's further to go. I understand that argument. I do think, though, I think, and maybe it would be for, obviously, for younger people if it's at UB North, I do think the demand is obviously going to go up if you expand the rail up enough to justify it, Brian. I just don't have that answer. My opinion, yes, but I've been known to be wrong. Like, saying there's more technology than 95.
And again, like, I'm not saying this as, like, the end-all, be-all authority.
You're putting it in your perspective.
I'm giving, like, my perspective on things. It's not saying, like, we don't take the train. My son's been on the train before. Like, you take the train for some things. It's just not how the majority of time I'm going to
get around. A new rail line's not going to increase your being on the train.
I would not take a train to work. Right. If there was that rail line, you know, up by me and I could hop on the train and come downtown, I'm not taking the train to work. I'm going to go by my own schedule. I also then have the freedom to, you know, I get a call like, oh, you got to be so wherever. I can hop in my car and go and do that exact thing without having to worry about, well, OK, where do I have to go? What do I have to jump on? Am I going to have to walk over here? Oh, my wife asked me to pick something up from the grocery store. Now I got to carry a loaf of bread with me wherever I go, right? Like those type of things. I just don't see people doing it that often to make it worth it. The exception would be you have like some sort of New York City type system. You're in New York City. You can, on like every corner, you're walking down into like even, you know, further outside, like downtown Manhattan or whatever. Subway stops all over the time. You can get to, they're always running. You're rarely waiting long for a train. I'm saying this as, you know, somebody who's only been there a handful of times. Like, I know they got delays and all that junk that people complained about, but that's the point. Like, there's delays people complain about. You know, when there's not a delay, when I hop into my car,
well, that's
and
not
go somewhere.
Completely true. You could be delayed.
Yeah, you could be delayed in traffic, sure. But like, you have that control.
Yes.
And you listen to Alan, and you avoid it.
Yes. I would not take the train to work if the train went by my apartment. But that's because, Brian, I'd like to sleep longer. So it has not. It just is because I want to get the extra 10 minutes of sleep.
I just don't like the. I guess the part of it is you are. You know, when you were in college, right, you're painting a picture, you would walk to the train and do that. Once you get in your car, you know, unless you're talking about like an event like a Sabres game, if you really don't like finding a parking spot or, right, you know, walking to the arena or something like that. Once you get in the car, I'm just going to the place. Like, there's not enough incentive for me to get in the car, then drive to wherever the station is, and then go. You're not going to have it for a majority of Western New Yorkers close enough to where they live to avoid that step of getting in the car and going to wherever the station is.
Yeah, but you know, you look at South Campus before the pandemic, and maybe the pandemic plays into this as well because not as many people are working 5 days a week in their office downtown. But you go by South Campus station during the week, the place is full. My mom took the subway to work, and as long as she worked downtown. She doesn't work downtown anymore. But when she did, she took the subway to work every day. Yeah, she got in the car, she drove, or I borrowed her car and she took the bus and took the train downtown. I think also, Brian, we're two people that have a car. There are people in Western New York that don't have cars, right? They depend on public transportation. It's not a direct route, but a subway, if you live in the area the subway would be expanded, would be a more direct route than a bus.
If you're living in Amherst without a car, I don't think this is going to help you that much. Like, how is this going
to
help
where
you?
Depends where you're looking to go. If you live in Amherst, number one, UB student, there are UB students that don't have transportation.
And you have a bus that takes you directly from UB to the station.
But they're not... Okay, yes, to the station. But if this goes the Niagara Falls route that I think should be the one that's passed, you're passing grocery stores, you're passing retail, maybe a place where you work that it doesn't pass through now. And so I think that also has to be... Now, again, what's that number? Maybe it's not big enough to make a difference. I do think that's another opinion that, unfortunately, we didn't get yesterday and we don't have today.
If you built this rail, the UB bus would still... You'd still have to take the UB bus to Wegmans, right? And Walmart.
To Wegmans, yes, but there is a grocery store on the rail line, is what I'm saying.
What one?
Trader Joe's.
Okay, so
would be every... And Target. Target has an expanded grocery section. Now, I'm just saying, you would have more than just it goes to UB. That's why the other proposals I don't just like.
Is that bus that bad? I've never been on the UB student, you know, shuttle.
I cannot give a perspective of that, but I am saying if you go to UB and you don't have a car, when I was in college, I didn't go to a big college. A lot of people didn't have a car. You can take that now if it goes to that big plaza, everything's there. Grocery, retail, jobs. Maybe that's an opinion that we need to get. Would this help you with your day-to-day life?
It just amazes me that like some people will say, when talking about like these big projects, oh, well, you want to use $500,000 of state money to keep the NFL team here in Buffalo? And no, like that's just ridiculous to me. I would rather spend $2 billion because I don't like a bus.
See, maybe this is just my perspective. I think people who support the stadium also support this.
I'm sure there's crossover. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you're one or the other, but like, there are people who are going to look at like a project like this who are definite no stadium projects and definite like yes metro rail expansion projects. But like at this level of metro rail expansion, to me makes zero sense. To me, this is an aesthetic upgrade over the bus because everything this would do is already accomplished by the buses that the NFTA has.
But the bus that when you get on there, how many stops is it going to make?
How many stops is this train going to make?
Well, I'm saying though, when you get on the bus, you cannot answer that question because you don't know how many times someone's going to pull on that frickin' lever.
Yeah, but like, but there are express buses.
There are express buses that are still in traffic. If you have a rail line that does not have to put up with traffic, that is, I think, a bonus. But again,
it's not going to go that fast on the road. It's above ground.
But when I look at this, I'm not looking as much at the money, Brian, as I am, will the demand be worth the 10 years of construction and possible destruction of certain places along the rail line? That is a question I cannot answer. And that's why, yes, I support the idea. I've always said that the rail should be expanded. But there's a lot of questions that we don't have the answer to.
Do you want to get me behind metro rail expansion? There's a simple way to do it. You start the digging at the airport.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You don't do this little thing and then say, like, yeah, and then we're going to do it. And then we're going to do this. No. Start digging at the airport. Start digging in Orchard Park by the stadium. Because then you have your endpoints and you go from there. You don't branch out from what you already have. You start there, so I know it's going to end up there. And then I'll be behind it because I know it's not just like, oh, yeah, totally. Someday we're going to go and, you know, do this. No. You have to do this because you started digging here. Start digging at the airport, connect that, and then start digging at your next destination point and connect that. And that'll get me behind metro rail expansion because I know where the end point's going to be. I know what's going to happen.
Or they could start digging, run out of money, and it could turn out. Have you ever heard the story of the Cincinnati rail line?
No.
They had built this, you know, they had started building what was supposed to be a system like this, a lot bigger because it's Cincinnati, but they ran out of money. And so they have like four stations in Cincinnati that never were rail lines because they ran out of money and just abandoned the project.
Oh, is that like when I was down there, there's like a rail car, but I feel like it was free, which was nice. I feel like it didn't go that far though.
That might be
I was walking faster than the train would have taken me.
Well, these stations only.
Is that what's going to happen? Can I walk from UB South to UB North faster than the train?
I hope not, because then I'll look like a real idiot. But these stations don't even have rail lines. They built the stations and then ran out. It's a great story. And Brian, when you say what you said, I would be behind it 100%. But again, I had that mentality of, is this really going to happen because of the projects that were built up? The projects that were discussed and never came to fruition.
Yeah, I don't know. I prefer the freedom of a car. Like, that's... I have it. I'm not going to get rid of a car. Would it be nice to have another option? Sure. Would I use it?
And again...
I don't know. How close to me would it have to be for me to use?
That's why my confidence in my answer, I lose it more and more, because there are a lot of questions that I just don't know the answer to. And... it's not one of those things, we'll build it and we'll figure out, because you could build it, figure out, and we could be down a lot of money for something.
Is it a mile?
What?
If it's within a mile of your home, you'd use it. If it's outside a mile of your home, I don't think you use it that much.
I grew up a little more than a mile, and we used it quite often. So I think it's just, it's also perspective.
3 miles, like something like that?
Yeah, I'd say within a 5 mile radius.
5 miles?
On the same street.
You're going to walk 5 miles?
I lived off of Main Street. All you had to do is shoot down Main Street and you're at the station.
I don't think people are walking 5 miles, period.
No, no.
I don't see them walking 5 miles to pick up the train to go to the Sabres game.
I walked 6 miles yesterday. That's a different story.
I'm glad to hear it, Joe. But anyways, you can let us know what you think. 803-0930 throughout the morning on the text board. You got David coming up next after the news, and we'll be back here tomorrow, Joe.
Sure will be on WBEN.